All right. Well, anyway, good morning, everyone. And today I will be teaching on, I put a new thing on my Facebook page or on my web page, some sort of page. There's pages in the Bible and pages on the internet and all the pages and all that stuff. But anyway, I put a page up, but I put a new thing called with Statement of Beliefs. And it's interesting, a lot of ministries will have their statement of beliefs, and they have this real confusing statement. So, like, they go on for like three paragraphs about Mary and Jesus and the Father, and after you read it, you go, what in the world did that say? But basically, I tried to, my first thing I put on there is we believe that truth is usually simple and error is usually complex. See, God made truth simple. You don't have to be, you don't need a PhD. It's reading the Bible is not like solving puzzles and difficult things. I remember years ago there was a friend of mine and he posted on the internet about the mystery. And a lot of times people, we think, the mystery is really, you got to be really smart to understand the mystery. And it's this thing that only certain people can figure out. Well, it's not like you got to be a detective that figures out something that nobody else can figure out. The reason it's a mystery is because it was hidden. And God's word is, for the most part, very simple. And the truths of God's word is very simple. But you know, you go to these other ministries and they're in their statement of beliefs, they'll make stuff real hard to understand. And they'll use, you know, a lot of words that, like, from ancient Latin or something and try to make it confusing. Well, God's word, the word of God is simple. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the confusion.
No.
Be strong in the legalism.
No.
Be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, and grace is simple. God just gave us things that we didn't deserve. He's very gracious that way. And verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. See, it's the truth is simple. Let's go. I made a statement once back in the 90s. I was teaching a conference, and there was a couple hundred people at this conference. And I walked up to the microphone and I said, the goal of my teaching today is I want to teach the truth so simply that a 12-year-old can understand it and he can go teach another 12-year-old. And I like to teach things that are simple like that. So let's go to the same book here, chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go to verse 2 here. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For there will come a time they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. See, there's plenty of people out there that are teaching things from the Bible that are really complex, really confusing, and really not very true. Many years ago, I went to some Weekend in the Word thing, and it was some couple gentlemen taught, and it was a good teaching, and it was really fun, and we all had a lot of fun and got to see people I wouldn't normally see, and it was just great. Except what they taught was like, it was kind of complex and confusing. And after the whole weekend, I was thinking to myself, you know, there isn't a single thing they said that really helped me. They didn't really teach anything that was wrong or like in error, but it's just there was nothing that was taught that actually helped me and taught me something that I needed to know in my life. And so a focus of our ministry is that we want to teach simple truths that help people. And there should be a profit to the word being taught. Let's go to James. So in James chapter 2, just a few pages over. Another thing we believe in our statement of beliefs is we believe there is one God and that Jesus Christ is his son. Now, this is where a lot of ministries will have a long, confusing statement about, well, we believe in the Holy Spirit is this, and the Jesus is the this, and this, and this. And if you stand, you know, it's like ice and water and steam. They're all water, but they're all different, and they're all the same, and co-equal, and co-eternal, and co-confusing. Well, the Word of God makes it really simple. There is God. There is one God, and he had a son called Jesus Christ, who was the one Messiah. So in James chapter 2, and sometimes James is really good, and sometimes he's not so good, but at this point, it's a really good verse here. And James chapter 2, verse 19, thou believest there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. See, the Trinity is very confusing. The Trinity is not in the Bible. And I teach simple things that are actually in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, it's confusing. I'm sure there's somebody out there that'll teach you that stuff, but I'm really not interested in going there. Let's see. Let's go to John chapter... Well, this you don't have to turn there, but we all know this one. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, you don't need a commentary for that. You don't need to know, you don't have to look at the Pig Latin text. You don't have to know, oh, what was it in the ancient Hebrew? You know, how did they pronounce it? Was it Yahshua or Yahshua? Or was it, or what kind of shoes were they wearing? Or was it sandals? Or was it a J or was it a Y? Or was it, you know, it doesn't matter. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, it's simple. So let's go to John chapter 14.
First John?
The Gospel of John. Same book we're in with John 3:16. Just flip a few chapters over. So John chapter 14, verse 12. And Jesus Christ is now saying to his disciples, he said, verily, verily, or of a truth, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I shall do, shall he do also. And the greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So if Jesus Christ was God, then we can do greater works than God, then that makes no sense. It's confusing. But if we know that there's one God and he had the Son, Jesus Christ, then this verse makes sense. And we can apply this stuff. And what does it say in verse 28 in the same chapter? In the last part of this chapter, the last part, the very last line in this verse, for my Father is greater than I. So that whole thing where they say it's co-equal, co-eternal, that's not co with the truth. The truth is the Father is greater than the Son. You know, I have a father. Well, I had a father. He passed away years ago. You know, and I had a friend over here a few months ago, and he says, Jeff, you look like your dad. And, you know, I'm about the same height. I have a little more hair on top of my head than he did. I have some of my mannerisms are sort of like that. I have a dry sense of humor, sort of like my dad. But nobody ever confused me with being him. It was pretty obvious he was Jerry Walter Rath, and I'm Jeffrey Wade Rath. And we got the same initials. There's a lot of things we share. We say share some of the same genetics, but he was a completely different person. He was the father, I'm the son. And people can get that straight in humans. Why can't they get simple stuff like that straight in the Bible? So let's go back. We're still in chapter 14. Let's stay here. Then the third statement of belief is we believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we all know what verse this is, John 14:6. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's simple. You don't get born again following Buddha. I mean, Buddha maybe had some good wisdom. You don't get born again following Muhammad. You know, it's all these other guys. You don't get, it's real simple. Jesus Christ is the Son, and we get born again by believing that God, you know, make Jesus Christ our Lord and believing God raised him from the dead. Simple truths. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. So, okay, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. We can, the word is simple. So what now we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord. What do we do with it? Well, that brings in my number four in my statement of beliefs. We believe that Jesus Christ gave us direct access to the one true God. So I'm still flipping pages here. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both, talking about Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So Jesus Christ made it available that we have direct access. If you read the Old Testament, they had a high priest. The high priest would go in. They would had to do these sacrifices. And they would have to kill animals, and they'd shed the blood, and that would take away the sins for a year. And then the next year, they'd have to do the same thing. And the people would be out in this one court. And people like us, we weren't even Judean. We would have to be in the court of the Gentiles. Then the other people, the Judeans, would get a little closer, but only the high priest would go in. Well, Jesus Christ broke down all those barriers between us and the Father. We now have direct access to God. Like when we prayed today, we prayed directly to God Almighty, the Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and we can get results for our prayers. So that brings us to statement number five. We believe that each Christian can have a relationship with the one true God, where the nature of that relationship is where God can be our best friend. We can actually walk as if God is our best friend. So let's look at James again. Here's an interesting scripture here. Everybody remember Abraham? In James chapter 2, verse 23, and scripture, and this scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. Whoops, am I reading the wise one? Oh, yeah, and he was called, at the last part of the verse, and he was called the friend of God. So Abraham was God's friend. Well, Abraham wasn't born again. It was in the Old Testament. Abraham had the Spirit on him by condition. Abraham did not have direct access to the Almighty God like we do. So how much greater can our relationship be with God than Abraham's? Well, let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 2 again. Ephesians chapter 2 is just an amazing section of scripture. It's just so loaded with truth. And it starts out where it talks about in verse 1 how God quickened us in time past. Verse 2, we walked according to what the world had. It's like before fellowship, we were flipping around on YouTube here with a computer, and I found a video, and it's this video. This guy was swimming in a swimming pool, and he's wearing a freaking paper mask, and he's swimming, and then he pulls the mask down, takes a deep breath, puts the mask back on, and swims underwater. Now, there's somebody that's conformed to the course of this world. He'll believe whatever stupid thing. I think there's people out there that if you told them to stick their thumb up their butt, hold their left ear, and hop on one leg, they would be safe from the coronavirus. And they would go down the street doing this. There's people that'll just believe anything they're told. And because there's a devil. There's a devil in this world. And this devil... And there's people that will just walk according, in verse 2 in Ephesians, it says they walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. There's people out there that all they do is lie. And, you know, and they may be a judge, they may be a bureaucrat, they may be a congressman, they may be a senator, but God says they're just liars. And they may be the governor of Colorado or the mayor of Detroit, but or Denver or whatever city you're near. God says they're just liars. There's a few of them that are good, but a lot of them are liars. Verse 3, among whom we all had our conversation in the past, according to the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our minds, who are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, they're all just... All this stuff that's been going on the last couple years, it's all just a big fear storm. It's fear. What happened is the grass got dry. The trees got dry. Everything got dry. The adversary lit a fire, and he blew a big wind. And the fire was driven by fear. Well, you know what? Perfect love casts out fear. The Word of God, we don't have to be fear their fear. We don't have to, we don't walk according to what they walk. Verse 4, but God, in contrast to all that fear and all that disobedience and all that stuff, but God, who is rich in mercy for the great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he had quickened. Quickened is old King James. It means made alive. And it's just, King James is quirky. Quickened, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved. Hey, that word grace came up again. That was here before in another section over in Timothy. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved. And this goes on and on and on. And again, we get down to, I'm looking at the wrong. So I want to get to verse 19 here. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but ye are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. See, God made us to where we're so special. Remember that parable Jesus taught. This was the first teaching I ever did when the first fellowship I ever ran. I taught the thing of the prodigal son. And it's the guy, he was living with his father. He had direct access to his father. He had a great place. His father was wealthy. His father was prosperous. His father was important in the community. His father passed down a great business and a great job to his son. And the son just said, I want to go out and live like these unbelievers. I want to see what's like to walk with the children of disobedience. I want to see what it's like to walk according to the course of this world and the prince of the power of the air. I want to go check out all that evil crap. And so he did. And he lived a year of hell. I don't know if it was a year, but maybe it was a year, maybe it was 2 years. It was a parable, so it doesn't matter. It didn't really happen. It's a story to teach a truth. And finally he's out there and he comes to himself and he says, what the heck? I'm feeding pigs. Pigs are the most disgusting animal in that culture. He said, not only that, when I eat, I have to eat the pig slop. I'm eating the same food they do. And I'm, you know what? The guy that was cleaning toilets at my father's house had a better life than I have now. I'm going to go back to my father. And, you know, he gets on the way back, the father was looking out for him. Well, see, that's the kind of relationship we have with our Father, the Almighty, one true God. We walk away, we decide, oh, let's go see what this evil stuff is. And then when we say, oh, evil is evil, duh. And we decide to come back to what he's already waiting for us. He's already prepared the way back. That's the kind of God we have. And God can be everywhere at once. He can be everything. In the Old Testament, it's translated in King James, I am that I am. What it should be is, I will become what you need me to become. God will be whatever he needs to be. So God's relationship with me is different than it is with Diane. And it's different than what it is for Fred or Sherry or Sunshine or Kel. God has a unique relationship with each one of us. He knows what kind of person we are. He knows we love baseball and we don't like basketball, or we like rock and roll but we don't like polka. You know, he knows all this stuff. He knows you like pizza but you don't like burritos or whatever, you know. And God will work with you where you're at. And so therefore you can have a relationship where he's 24/7, he's your best friend, always with you. All right, number 6. How am I doing on time? This is one of those things that I want to make sure I don't blow way past my time limit. I remember years ago I was doing a teaching and I had like all these pages of notes, and I'm doing this teaching and I was teaching at somebody's ministry, their church, and I got about 10% into my notes, and the guys in the back flashing me the 5. That meant I had like 5 minutes left. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm never going to finish this in 5 minutes. So hopefully I won't run over my time like that. So number 6. We believe that those born again can operate. We believe that those born again of God's Spirit can operate 9 manifestations. We believe we can speak in tongues, interpret tongues, prophesy, we can receive a word of knowledge, we can receive a word of wisdom, we can discern spirits, we can operate faith, we can operate miracles, and we can heal the sick. These are all listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And I think for economy of time, I'm not going to go there. People can, listening to this later, you can go there and read that. But it talks about how the manifestation is, each one is given for a profit. And one of the things it does, well, I think I will turn there because I want to make a point. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And people read this in verse 8. For it says, to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another so on, so on, and to another this. And what is taught in the churches, they took a simple truth and they made it complex. And that for to one, if you look at that in the Greek, that word one is never used to refer to a person. It's always referred to a thing. And so what it's talking about, for one prophet, you get word of knowledge. Another prophet, there's discerning of spirits. Now, like, there's a prophet. We had manifestation of prophecy before the teaching tonight. Today, it's not night here, today. And so that was profitable for people to hear that manifestation. Now, say Fred here is coming, and he's sick, and he's got a runny nose, and he wants me to minister healing to him. the prophet of hearing that manifestation of word of prophecy was not what he really needs today. He needs somebody to minister healing to him. And so it's a different prophet. So the different manifestations are for different prophets. And it's like if you're driving down the road and you don't have a stop sign, you come to an intersection that somebody else has a stop sign. God says stop, and you stop, and the guy there runs the stop sign. Well, that was profitable. God gave you knowledge and wisdom what to do in a situation. That was very profitable. And so we believe that God, because he's our best friend, because he's our father, he works with us through these nine manifestations and other ways as well. Okay, now I'm still going to start getting political. Number seven in my statement of beliefs: we believe that much of the news is actually propaganda. Or like one of my favorite politicians, Donald Trump, says, fake news, or very fake news. And, you know, this whole thing of fake news, it's nothing new. This is not something that started in the 2020 or 2016, or it's been going on for as long as there's always, as long as there's been people, there's always been people. What fake news and propaganda? It's lies. I want to go to the book of Acts, by the way. I forgot to tell you that. Acts chapter 4. And as long as there's been a devil, there's always been lies. And he's always telling lies. So here we got, this is shortly after the day of Pentecost. We got Acts chapter 4 and about verse 5. And it came to pass, well, they had just done a great healing. And they had that guy that was, he had something wrong with his ankles, you know, and I can relate to that because, you know, I'm an older man, and sometimes I wake up and my ankles hurt a little bit when I get out of bed in the morning, and it's like, geez, I remember when I was 25 and I'd just jump out of bed and nothing hurt. Well, this guy had been this way. He was born young. He had had this problem. He had been there. Jesus Christ had walked by. The apostles had walked by, and suddenly on this one day he had walked by, and this was the day he was going to get healed. And they healed him, and they said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he started leaping, and his ankles had strength, and they didn't have pain, and he could walk on them. And so this had happened, and so what happened here in verse 5 of chapter 4, it came to pass on the morrow, the rulers and the elders and the scribes, and then Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all these guys, they're religious leaders, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And they set the apostles in their midst and said, by what power, what name have you done this? And then Peter came and gave a great defense. And it's a great section, and again, I don't have time to read all of this, but we get down to verse 21. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified God in what was done. See, the average person understands truth, and the average person, they know when they're being lied to. It's like these companies like CNN and MSNBC, hardly anybody's watching them anymore. The only reason they stay in business, if you go to the airport, they're paid to put it on that channel at the airport. And we got crooked, you know, back in when we were kids, I assume all you guys are my age, we had ABC, CBS, and NBC. And Walter Cronkite had come on, and he'd give us his spin of the news, and they'd buy off those three major networks, and we just believed that what they were telling us was true. But we've been lied to in so many things. So many things we've been lied to. I don't even have time to list them all, but remember... There's a thing also here in the book of Acts. There was one of their kings was sitting on his throne, and all the people were looking at him like, oh my God, he's like an angel, or he's like a god. Look at him there. And he had been persecuting the believers. And an angel came down, slapped him on the face. And he was suddenly, and King James, sometimes I complain about King James, sometimes I love it. And King James says he was eating the worms. You know, it's basically, he just, you know, normally somebody dies, you don't get eaten the worms immediately. It takes quite a while. You know, you gotta, the body decays, and then it smells like spoiled meat. And then, you know, it's like, I remember years ago I had a snake in my backyard, and I killed the snake and threw it in the compost pile. And all the flies came and found it, and they laid maggots, and that body of that snake got eaten the worms. Yeah, this is kind of gross, sorry. But it was a miracle that it happened that fast. And God can, well, when people stand, the average person is a good person. And when we stand against these crooked people that are giving us this propaganda, God will act. And God can bring down the mighty evil, and you'll see signs, miracles, and wonders. And we're seeing a lot of unraveling of false narratives, false flags, and a lot of propaganda is being proven false. Like they told us that, well, I'm not going to get into, I'll get into that in a minute. Verse number 8 of my statement of beliefs. We believe that the U.S. government officials are evil and are controlled by others who worship Satan. Jeff, how in the world can you say that? I've literally had people say that to me. How can you say that true? Well, let's go to Luke chapter 4. You know, people sometimes think things happen in the Bible and are not happening now. All the Bible is recorded history. There's a gentleman that I abundantly share to, who's done some amazing, I'm going to Luke chapter 4, by the way, who's done some amazing things. He's done things that should have been recorded in a Bible. And he's gone to a lot of foreign countries. He's done a lot of great healings. And Diane and I, we send money to him every month. And I'm not going to tell you who it is because it doesn't matter. I don't want to, like, but basically, he's worthy of being recorded in the Bible. A lot of you guys have done things. A lot of us have done things that are worthy of being recorded in the Bible. And just because it isn't doesn't make it any less significant. So Luke, this is Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness. He got born again. He got baptized by John the Baptist. And he got born again. And he got the, well, no, he didn't get born again. He got the Spirit upon him fully. Let me use my words correctly. He got the Spirit fully on him. And this Spirit, remember, John 14:12, the works that he did, we can do also in greater works. We got a full measure of the Spirit like he did. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for this is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Verse 7, here's the kicker. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be yours. All shall be thine. See, most of the people in positions of power in this world are there because they worship Satan. They were tempted like this, and they say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. It's like you hear those rhetorical statements like, well, would you do this for $1 million? Or like I saw something on Facebook that said, if somebody gave you $1 million, would you never buy alcohol again? And it's like, well, you know, I for me, that'd be easy because I don't really, I drink alcohol on Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's about all I drink. You know, so it's like, for me, that'd be easy, but I don't know. But they always have these stupid, or would you do this terrible thing if you could do this, you know. Well, people, there's a lot of people that are given this choice, you know, whether you, if you get all this power and all this wealth, would you worship Satan? And those are the people that, for most part, are running the world. That's why there's propaganda. That's why there's all this evil. And this leads into statement number 9. We believe that we no longer have fair elections. And actually, I should probably reword that. Have we ever had fair elections? I'm thinking, you know, I was born in the 50s, and were there any elections in my lifetime that were ever fair? And we believe that Donald Trump won 2020 by a landslide, and there was wholesale cheating. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 8. So in Samuel, chapter 8 and verse 10. Here, this is the section where, remember in the Old Testament, for a long time, Israel was, they would put judges. They put a, it was either a prophet or a godly man would be a judge over Israel. And Israel said, well, it's sort of like Ephesians chapter 2. We want to walk like the spirit of the children of disobedience do. We want to see what all that evil stuff is. We want to have a king. Look, Syria has a king. Babylon has a king. Egypt has a pharaoh. It's like a king. We want a king. And see, when there's when our country was first founded, we had basically people were businessmen and politicians. And these businessmen and politicians would go and they would make enough money, and then they'd go be a politician for, like, Davy Crockett. He became a congressman for a while, and then he went back to just being Davy Crockett again. And he died at the Alamo fighting tyranny. God bless that man. Well, when now what's happened is our presidents and our senators and our congressmen, they're like kings. They're like lords over us. They're supposed to be public servants. And they're tyrants. In verse 10, Samuel told all the words of the Lord when the people asked him about a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king. He will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and for his horsemen. And he shall run before his chariots. I didn't read what was written there. And to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariot. In other words, there'll be horse soldiers and their foot soldiers. That's what he's talking about. He's going to make them, he's going to go to war, and some of your sons are going to die in a war. He will appoint captains over thousands and captains over fifties and so on. And they're talking about war and chariots and so on. Verse 13, and he'll take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be the cooks. You know, he's going to have all these people making special foods for him. And he'll take your fields, and he'll take your vineyards, and your olive yards, and give them to his servants. So he's going to tax you. And he'll take a tenth of your seed, and on and on and on. He's going to do all these bad things. And in verse 18, and they shall cry out in that day, your king which ye shall have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you that day. You know, it's, the king won't hear you and the Lord won't hear you, because you'll have done evil and you'll have departed from God, and you'll think that your kings are actually, but you know, and those people that are in Washington, very few of them could give a rat's ass about us. They don't care about us. And whether, you know, I'm talking about Democrats, Republicans, judges, bureaucrats. There's a few that are good, but there's some, a lot of them play good cop, bad cop. They come out and they say, oh, some say we're going to do this, and some say, oh, we're on your side, we're going to help you. But then when push comes to shove, they sell you out. So, verse...
Liars.
Yes, liars. So number 10, We believe that most of the information about the COVID-19 virus is propaganda, and the truth is twisted and hidden. And the verse I had for this one is John 10:10. We all remember that one. For the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And we were stolen from. They stole our freedom. They lied to us. Yeah, there is a real virus. It didn't come from a wet market. It was engineered. Well, our government paid the Wuhan lab to engineer this virus. And yes, it can kill, like any flu virus can kill, but it can only kill if you are vitamin D deficient. Because how it kills, you have to have what's called a cytokine storm. And if you don't understand that, you can look it up on the internet. But you can't have a cytokine storm in your immune system if you're not vitamin D deficient.
If you are, oh, right.
Yeah, you have to be vitamin D deficient to have a cytokine storm. If you have a normal or above normal level of vitamin D in your system, then the COVID-19 virus, it'll just be a minor cold or maybe a mild flu or maybe asymptomatic and you won't even get it. There was two extremely effective, extremely cheap medicines that were discouraged from being used. It was the hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Remember when Trump, it was about a year ago when Trump, I think it was last August, Trump got the virus and they took him to the hospital and they gave him hydroxychloroquine, they gave him ivermectin, and like 2 days later he was released and he was fine. And these drugs are extremely cheap. That you can get a whole month's prescription for $5 without insurance. That's the cost. If you use your insurance, it costs $5. And if you don't use your insurance, it costs $5. So it's like pennies a pill. And they're really old drugs. They're very safe. There's a couple side effects they could possibly have. And they're extremely effective. Whereas this, that brings me into number 11. We believe the COVID-19 shots are very dangerous and should be avoided. These shots are not FDA approved. And we'll go to Mark. I have a verse in Mark chapter 5 that I might go to or I might not. I don't know. But the shots are not FDA. The shots are at least 50 times more dangerous than the original flu virus. And if you do simple, if you want a drug, take ivermectin, take hydroxychloroquine. And if you don't want to take a drug, take zinc, take vitamin D, and eat healthy. Avoid, you know, the bad foods and eat the good foods and all that stuff. And this vaccine is not a vaccine, because to be a vaccine, it has to be FDA approved. And if it's not FDA approved, and the reason I put this on my website so that if any of you get in a situation where you have an employer or somebody that says we require you to take this vaccine, you can go to my statement of beliefs on my website and say I follow what this guy teaches and I claim religious exemption to the vaccine. Oh yeah, there's also Diane's, we came across something. You can go to freedom, freedom, at one, number...
No, no, I can decide.
Oh, okay, .org. So it's freedom at icandecide.org. And if you don't get it exactly right, if you get close in your search engine on the internet, then you can find that. But I remember years ago in the 90s when I got a little bit of arthritis, and most of the drugs they had for arthritis were pretty nasty. And for a few seconds, I actually considered, well, you can go and try drugs that aren't FDA approved, and you can get sometimes an early release on some of these things. And I looked at that and I said, well, wait a minute. Some of those drugs might end up killing somebody. I don't think I want to try those. I went and searched, which will go into number 12 on my statement of beliefs. I went and searched natural cures. But I'll get to that one in a minute. So I had Mark chapter 5. Oh, I'm running out of time here. I'm going to try and get this done in a couple more minutes here. So Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. Here it's talking about this was the woman who had the issue of blood. And the reason I brought up this verse is it's a classic thing. This woman had 12 years, she had this bleeding issue. And for 12 years, she went to doctors and she spent everything she had with the doctors. And it says she was none better, but rather she became worse. And sometimes medical treatments, their doctors are good people. I'm not saying doctors are evil. They're there because they want to help. But sometimes the treatment they have may make you worse than better. Like there was talking about arthritis, there was a thing called COX-2 inhibitors. And there was one of the COX-2 inhibitors that came out. It was actually FDA approved. And they found out people were dying of heart attacks when they take this. And they had to take it off the market. There was another thing that was thromadehyde. Thromadehyde. That was that drug that was out in the 60s, and they were giving it to people, and it was anti-cancer, and they were touting this drug that it was safe. There was no unsafe dosage, and it was like a tranquilizer. It was so good. It had so many usages, and then they let pregnant women take it. And the pregnant women, the little kids would come out, instead of having an arm, they'd have a hand at the shoulder. Instead of having legs, they'd have a foot at the hip joint. And they had these, what they call flipper babies. And it was a terrible drug. And that changed the FDA. The FDA then changed the way approval, it became much more difficult to get drugs approved and out to generally release. And maybe people take this vaccine will just do fine with no side effects at all. I hope that's the truth. I really pray to God that's the truth. But I am really suspicious of something that's not FDA approved. I'm also suspicious of some of the stuff that is FDA approved. Which leads me to number 12. We believe in natural healing. We believe the human body can heal itself when given the proper nutrition and healing. Now the kicker is sometimes it can be very difficult figuring out what that proper nutrition is, because there's some things that I've been taught this will heal you and make you better, and it made me worse. But for instance, remember in the Bible when the three wise men came to see little baby Jesus? You know, they go, hello, hello, hello. You know, Mo, Mary, Curly, three wise men. No, bad joke, sorry. They were wise men, they were magi. They came from what we would now call Iran. Yeah. And they had been taught by, or maybe it was Iraq. I sometimes get those countries mixed up. But anyway, they were, when Israel had been carried away to Babylon, these people were taught by Daniel that there was going to be a Messiah and there were certain signs would come. And so they brought gifts, things of great value to this young Messiah. And what was the first? Gold. Well, we all know what gold is. We would all love to have more gold. Everybody loves gold. You can, you know, gold is wealth. And then what were the other two things? Frankincense and myrrh. And I went for 40, 50 years of my life not having a freaking clue what frankincense and myrrh are. Well, I now use frankincense and myrrh on a daily basis. Frankincense comes from a tree. It's an oil derived from a certain type of tree. It's also called boswellia. And it's anti-inflammatory and it's a pain reliever. Myrrh is a natural antibiotic. You can put a little myrrh in your mouthwash. You can put a little myrrh on your toothbrush. If you cut your arm and you don't want it to get infected, you can put a little myrrh on the open cut. and it'll keep it from getting infected. So there are things that are natural healing and that we believe. And it's like there's a certain group of Christians called Christian Scientists, and they don't believe in any medical treatments. They think you can only go to God to get healed. Well, we believe that God can heal, and I've seen healings that people getting ministered and prayed for and getting healed that way. I've also, you know, I'm a little wary of doctors, but there was a time in my life 20 years ago I had a kidney infection. And with that, and with a kidney infection, okay, I got rid of that static. The kidney infection, I went and got a antibiotic and cured the kidney infection, because you don't want to lose your kidneys, they're important. So sometimes medical treatments can heal people. And same thing, there's certain natural things that can heal people. And so we believe that people should try all three, and that you should walk in wisdom, and that you should try all three. So that's my statement of beliefs. And I'm going to have a closing word of prayer here, and then I'll make it available for people to share something, and then we're going to break for a noon meal. I'm going to cook hamburgers on the grill, and we got some nice lettuce harvested freshly from our garden yesterday. We have a nice fresh salad. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you that we can walk and talk with you, and that we can have that relationship with you like you're our best friend in the world. And Father, deliver us from propaganda. Deliver us from evil rulers who want to rule over us instead of serve us. And Father, I just rebuke Satan and all his schemes and propagandas and all the stuff he's trying, where he tries to make the Word of God complex. And he wants to lie to us, and he wants to promote lies and evil. And Father, let us walk in the simple truths that we can just read your simple truths in the Bible and claim it in our lives and have the victory in the name of Jesus Christ.